And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, wow, like pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing around here today. All right, so I'm going to, it's been a full day. I mean, between the interview with Senator Britt, JP on sports, taking care of the first dipper, which was all about the U.S. Senate. Now I'm going to just go ahead and jump right onto what was categorized as dipper number three for the day. I'm calling it Stop the Madness. Stop the Madness. So what am I talking about? Well, you can already imagine, some of y'all, it's just literally, the woke culture has gotten so out of hand, it's so beyond the pale, that you look at it and think, okay, Democrats, do you not even hear yourself anymore? You say stuff and you pursue stuff and you're looking at, the challenges of life that we face as a transgender man that wants to breastfeed. And you're like, what? Stop. Just stop. It doesn't work that way. And you know what? I will say this. I've said on the show multiple times that I really believe the left was so empowered, if you will, over the last 4 years. Not empowered like in a good way, but like cut loose to do whatever they wanted to do. Like somebody took the leash off. That's what I'm talking about. They were empowered and enabled and given the opportunity, free reign, if you will, to do whatever they wanted to do for the last 4 years. Anything goes. Make it happen. I mean, you want to believe that men can be women? Sure. You want to do surgeries on minors and life-altering surgeries to pretend that they can be gender fluid? Sure, why not? You want to, listen, on and on and on. And the wokeness, y'all, has got to stop. Well, here's the thing. I really believe you can feel it. I said on the show last week, you can feel the difference in the air. You can. There's a different sense of excitement. There's a sense that things are changing. There's a sense that right now we have the hope of like a restoration of sanity, if you will. Well, then yesterday as I'm getting, this morning early as I'm getting ready for the show, I mean, this is somewhere around probably 5:15 this morning. I'm going through some stuff for the show, and I find an audio clip from Justine Bateman. Now, some of y'all may remember Justine Bateman. She and Michael J. Fox got their start as child actors on the show, Family Ties, back in the, was that the 80s, 90s? But 80s, I guess. But the reality is Justine Bateman, who is now, I think, 58 years old, is still in Hollywood. She's a director, an actor, a producer. Lo and behold, she's a conservative. And she has been coming out hard. And man, listen, if you don't follow her on social media, you ought to, because it's a hoot. I started following her on X, now Twitter. And her thing is, she takes, almost like libs of TikTok, she takes videos that libs make of themselves, and then she critiques them as if she is the producer or director and goes into all the things they're doing wrong when they make their video. It's hilarious. But I saw an interview she did with Jesse Waters on Fox. And you got audio clip number two. I'm going to go with audio clip number two first. This is Justine Bateman. I want to listen to part of it, and then I'll probably break in and comment. Go ahead and play it.
But what I'm really excited about is that the political correctness, the sort of woke era is over, because you need mob mentality momentum in order to keep that going, in order to threaten people if they're not thinking and talking the way you do, to threaten their lives, threaten their careers, threaten their place in society. You need that momentum in order to do that. And when Trump won presidency again, that cut that momentum off. So this whole woke era is over.
You're right. I mean, they only are effective when they work in perfect harmony together. And now they're all divided and arguing with each other, and they're not on offense. They're canceling each other. And that's probably a good thing. Is it really official? You believe it's official? We're never going back to cancel culture. We're never going back to political correctness. You're calling it right here?
Well, I'm saying you need that. I mean, when you look at mob mentality and the things that have happened, like the tulip mania hundreds of years ago, the burning of the witches in Salem, there needed to be a mob mentality momentum. And if you don't have that, it dies out. And I'm talking about, yes, things have changed politically, obviously, but it's spiritual. It's a spiritual shift. It started a little bit when Elon Musk bought Twitter and turned it into X, and it really changed when Donald Trump won this presidency. I can feel it, definitely.
Right, I can feel
it. Stop it there. I think she's right. I think you can feel it. I think there was a shifting in the momentum. And I love what she said about the herd mentality, the craziness that happens, like the Salem witch trial she's talking about, where they would do the most ridiculous things, like throw you in the water, and if you drowned, that meant that you were innocent because only a witch could swim or float. Like, what? I mean, that kind of crap requires a herd mentality of either A, the people who are trying to lead the herd and come up with the initiatives that are very important, and B, the herd that just goes, okay, because we're sheeple and all we do is follow you. You have to have that. And that's what we've seen, by the way, in the transgender agenda. That's exactly what we've seen. It's been a herd mentality. We have to get on board. We have to do it. We have to get on board with that. Children can be gender fluid. Five-year-olds can make a decision about whether they're boys or girls. We understand. We agree. No, you can only do that if you're A, either a follower, or B, trying to incite a new agenda. Either way, it's a herd mentality. And what she just said was the herd mentality is coming to an end because the empowerment of the herd is ending. And I find this to be, like, just deeply insightful. But when we get back, I want to dive into this a little bit more. When we get back, I want to give you some of the things. When I say stop the madness, I'm going to give you some examples of things that are, some people are finally stepping up saying stop. But then look at what they're trying to say stop to. You wonder, how did it ever get started? I mean, for the love of God, how did we get to that point? And I say we. You and I weren't doing it. JP and I certainly weren't on board with this. This audience wasn't on board with it. But there's a whole lot of people that were just sheeple, not people, if you know what I'm saying. Well, I'm for being a sheepdog and putting a stop to the madness. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're going to end this show on a high note. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just, I forgot what I was going to say. I was about to say covering down, and I started to say something else, and I looked over at Twitter, and I got distracted by an alligator. I don't know what to say about that. Oh, yeah, we are covering down on some major ground across the northern half of Alabama. Anyway, all said and done, let me jump right into the content, because I do want to get back to this thing about stop the wokeness. So stop the madness, stop the wokeness. One of the places that I'm really, and I'm going to call for audio number one here momentarily, one of the places where I really want to see us stop the wokeness is in the U.S. military. I know some of y'all are listening out there right now, and you could so identify. I mean, I know for a fact in this audience, there's green suiters that are still active duty that are out there at Redstone Arsenal listening to what we have to say. I mean, right here in our listening area, we've got Maxwell Air Force Base, Anderson Army Depot, Redstone Arsenal, and we've got any number of National Guard training centers and installations. So I know some of y'all are listening. And at the same time, we've got veterans and we've got family members of people who are on active duty right now. And we want it changed. We want the culture of the military back to being about warfighting and honor and integrity and less about being a petri dish for the experimentation of the social left. So that being said, you got to look at this whole thing about Pete Hegseth being the nominee for Secretary of Defense. My first thought when I saw that was like, Pete Hegseth? Now, I get it. You look at it and go, and I'm still wanting to hear more about his ability to lead large scale organizations. But if you have any concerns at all about where he is on some of what I would call the cultural issues, where he is on his education, he's got an undergraduate from Princeton, a master's from Harvard. He served in the military. He did two combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. Got out as a major. He led Concerned Veterans for America as their national executive director. He was considered at one point by the Trump administration in the last go-round for an appointment as the director of the VA, but for whatever reason, he didn't. I'm looking at him and go, he's a far more serious candidate when I began to realize who all he is and where he's been. But you can also look at what he said. He's very much on the record. He did a Sean Ryan podcast. I'm not sure when this was done, but you good on Clipper One? Audio number one. This is Pete Hegseth talking about wokeness in the military. We need to stop this madness. Play it.
If you had a Cat 4 dental, they pulled your tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't be out in the field with a major, dental emergency, but there's no dentist. Mm-hmm. And so I deployed with a lot of guys who were like, because they just had a tooth pulled and they had to.
I've seen that.
Yet we're now allowing people who used to be men or women join. And then after that, we pay for medical or physical transitions to another gender, which by definition makes them non-deployable and non-trainable for your, because they're, and the same thing with asthma medication or inhalers. Like when you're in basic training, you can't have an inhaler when you're doing your exercises because you can't count on having an inhaler in a combat situation.
Yeah.
Well, if you're medically dependent on drugs to maintain your gender or a particular balance of chemicals inside your body, you're by definition non-deployable. And so you'd have, they'd have soldiers who can't train, can't deploy, have been on the books, and yet everyone has to be careful about what pronoun you use with them.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with how effective a unit's going to be. And yet so something like that should be banned on day one in a Trump administration. We're not doing the treaty, and he did that. It got immediately reversed under Biden. Things like that, because it's a top-down, I'm not saying top-down is the only way that works. I know that. I know that you top-down things, and people can ignore it, and they can maneuver it, and they can work around it. I just think there's enough of a core inside the DOD that if you push top-down, and then you change the way you do basic training and the way you do recruiting and the way you do the military academies, you have a fighting chance to restore an ethos. Now, that doesn't say anything about how the politicians will use that military in the future, which they have a horrible track record of. But institutionally, you at least have a chance. Maybe.
Great clip. And it's amazing to hear someone be that clear-headed about wokeness in the military, like unabashedly. At the same time, be considered for the top position for the military. Have you seen that in the last 4 years? No. I mean, we're dealing with a society of cultural leftism, the wokists, who have been trying to deny that we can even define what a woman is. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson would not even define what a woman is during her confirmation hearings. Mark Milley, biggest disappointment. I mean, all the scare me badges in the world on his uniform, and he could not abide by the idea that perhaps wokeness was hurting our military. I look at the things that happened, and I'm thinking, my gosh, could we stop using CRT at the military academies? Could we stop promoting DEI initiatives for those in uniform, and get back to the idea of meritocracy? So I got a piece right here for the Daily Signal. It says the cultural curators are facing a reckoning from mocking middle America, and that's what I believe is really happening right now. Because, you know, the populist coalition that got out there and voted for Trump and said, we're tired of all this, was really saying, please stop the madness. We want our economy back. We want our border back. And oh, by the way, can we have our culture back? Can we please stop going into any number of just agenda-based, non-truthful wokeisms that do nothing but hurt our society and diminish our capacities. And the voters, this article points out from the Daily Signal, Dateline 2 days ago. The voters, they point out, were directly observable. It wasn't hard. It was all walks of life. It was blue collar, white collar, and no collar. It was everybody. It was all the folks out there who were voting of every strata of society were saying these things, and they were being ignored by the left and being ignored by the mainstream media. And we got so worn out with all the doomsaying and the inaccurate reporting and the idea that voting for Trump was going to be the downfall of Western civilization. And then, you know, Trump's really losing. Everybody's leaving his rallies. It's really not that important anymore to people to even see Trump. I got news. That didn't happen. And so here's the thing. Stopping the madness. Here's one for you. How about we stop some things like, oh, I don't know, how about this one? Daily Caller. How's this for a headline? This is going to break the bank. You ready? Some of y'all are going to swerve on the road. Be careful driving. You ready? Brace yourselves. We've got an article right here from Daily. This is actually Daily Wire, not Daily Caller. Daily Wire. The founder of the breastfeeding support group quits over the idea of pandering to trans-identifying men. Why is that a headline? Why is that a headline anywhere in the world? Why is that even newsworthy? why did any organization dedicated to the idea of helping women with support in breastfeeding start talking about men breastfeeding? Here's an idea. Men don't breastfeed. Can we say it out loud? Yes, men don't breastfeed. So Marian Thompson is 94 years old. She's the founder of an international organization called La Leche. La Leche is there. It's a breastfeeding, you know, support group. It encourages women and helps them through processes and provides answers and all that kind of stuff. She just had to resign from the organization she helped start decades ago because the organization, in her words, has subtly shifted to include men for whatever reason, she said, that want to have the experience of breastfeeding despite no careful long-term research on male lactation. Let me just point out, there's nothing to research. Males don't lactate. They just don't. And the fact that we have this headline at all, can we please stop the madness? Well, I don't know what Marian Thompson's going to accomplish, but I'm so proud she stood up. She's 94 years old. She could be sitting at home right now just enjoying her retirement, but she chose to buck the system. She chose to go ahead and buck the people that are out there running the organization that she founded and loves. I look at different things like we were told over and over again that the existential threat to our day is climate change. Really? Because I don't think China thinks that. Well, no. Don't you understand? The biggest thing important to voters is abortion. Really? I don't think that really resonated to the vast majority of voters. Speaking of which, this one is from Daily Caller. Have you heard about the 4B movement? I've been wondering, what does 4B even stand for? Well, I still don't know after I read the article. It says the radical spirit of American feminists is being embraced in South Korea's 4B movement. So it came from South Korea. The term 4B, it stands for the four no's that fed-up Korean women refuse to participate in. No sex, no giving birth, no dating men, and no marriage with men. The guy says it's basically political lesbianism. I made you laugh.
That's good. That's true. It's
political true. Lesbianism. But I look at it and go, okay, it's 4B, but it stands for four no's. So where's the B? Is this, I don't understand.
I have no idea. And truth be told, I have to question if the girls who are participating in this would even have had to started this movement if men wanted to get with them in the first place.
Yeah. So by the way, they did point out here, they say, Little Miss Abortion is going to be lasting about all of 2 weeks in her 4B movement as she quickly brings home that irresistible guitar player with the neck tattoo. Political. Can we stop the madness? Here's one. I'm going to run out of time, so I'm just going to throw a couple things in here. How about this one? OutKick has a article, Dateline, yesterday. Volleyball players are now suing the Mountain West Conference. Suing them. Because they've been allowing transgenders to play against women in college volleyball. It's the San Jose State thing. We've talked about it several times, but Mountain West Conference is now dealing with an actual lawsuit as female athletes are stepping up and saying, stop the madness. And you know what? I really believe that they've got the ability now to get that done. I think 3 years ago, these girls would have either been cowed into silence or not given any credence to say anything. But I believe that we're seeing a different level right now of people that have said, stop the madness, and oh, by the way, I'll help you stop it. A clear indication that some things are changing too. University of Michigan, student government, Wolverine folks, just impeached their student government president. How does that? I didn't know that could happen. I didn't
know that either.
I didn't either. University of Michigan's experiment in woke governance has come to an end. A majority of the student government, Dateline 2 days ago on hotair.com, a majority of the student government voted to impeach the body's current president and vice president, both of whom were elected earlier this year as part of a slate of pro-Palestinian candidates. The Ann Arbor-based school's central student government voted 30-7. That's overwhelming. 30-7 to oust the president and vice president who are part of a pro-Palestine activist group called Shut It Down for neglecting their responsibilities and actively trying to block funding for student groups on campus. That is awesome. So it's not just in, like, grown-up land. I mean, this is like college students saying, would you please stop the madness? You're embarrassing the rest of us. This makes no sense. All right, now I got to go to a break. Stop the madness. There, I got it in. That was some good stuff. Men lactating. Oh, God. Please. Oh, Lee from Huntsville's correcting me, by the way. She says, Phil, it's La Che League. It's La Che. Thanks, Lee.
La leche, which means milk. That's what she says.
La leche. Okay, la leche. Whatever. We're taking a break. Men don't lactate. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.